This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah. Hamdan kathiran wa tayyiban mubarakan fi. وصلوات الله والسلام على نبينا الأمين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين وعلى من تمسك بسنته بإحسان إلى يوم الدين ثم أما بعد. Today during the خطبة الجمعة we may mention of something that we have to clarify here so that it wouldn't appear to be a contradiction, and that is we mentioned that the mu'jizat of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you won't be able to experience them, you won't be able to see them, other than the mu'jiza of the Qur'an. It's the only one we're going to experience. No doubt with talking about the virtues of Asham, we'll be talking about the mu'jizat of the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that he told us about many issues and incidents that are happening during our time, and some that have yet to happen. So that's a mu'jiza. It's not what I meant. What I meant was the miracles that took place during the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that his companions observed and witnessed, and they dealt with it. And there are many. That's what we were referring to. As for the mu'jizat of what's going to happen in the future, then obviously he told us about those things because he was divinely inspired and informed. So that increases the Muslim in yaqeen and in knowledge. Second issue is during the khutbah of al-Jumma, we had mentioned that the activism of some of the Muslim women and what takes place in the dunya today, whether it's a sham and protesting for it, for their liberation, for their help, whether it's what took place recently, the March on Washington, shouldn't be understood that we don't believe that women have no role as it relates to being activists. They have a role. Everybody has a role to play in al-Islam. There are no passive participants in the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah mentioned in many ayahs of the Quran, وَلِكُلِّمْ وِجْهَةٌ هُوَ مُوَلِّيهَا فَاسْتَبِقُوا الْخَيْرَاتِ. Everyone from amongst you, he has his path. He has a thing that he's supposed to be doing. She has been created to do those things. So you be active in your issue. As it relates to activism that goes against the religion, this is the issue that we were referring to. The wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the women during that time, they had activity. Khadija, Aisha, Fatima, Sulaym, Salama, Ridwanullahi alayhinna ajma'in, they had their activism. But Islam has demarcated and made boundaries for the activism of the Muslim woman. It's not according to what the majority say or what the Shabab say or what modern culture is telling us is okay. It's what Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, has defined for us. So we don't want it to be misunderstood that we're saying women have no role to play in the development of the Islamic religion. Women played a vital role during the time of the Nabi of Islam, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Or how else could al-Islam and Muslims claim that al-Islam is the best way of life and the best religion for people if it forgot women? Al-Islam didn't forget anyone. I remember giving a khutbah here. In terms of our culture and our application of al-Islam, women are forgotten. They're a masajid with no facilities for women at all. So when they come to the masjid for a janaza of one of their relatives, they don't know what they're doing. When they come to the nikah for one of their relatives to the masjid, they don't know what they're doing because they don't come to the masjid and they're discouraged from even attending the Eid. That's in the culture. The women from some cultures don't go to the Eid. That's the practice of the Muslims. That's the practice of the Muslims. Whereas in the deen of Allah, women are educated and they have their role to play. As it relates to Asham, Ikhwani, and the virtues of Asham in the last dars, we mentioned a number of ayat from the Quran that are not known by many people. There are some ayat that are very clearly, like the ayat in Surah Al-Isra. Some ayat are very clear. The ayat in Surah Quraysh that we mentioned, that the Arabs of Quraysh used to travel to Hisham. There were a number of ayat other than that that we mentioned in the Quran that mentioned the virtues of Hisham as it was understood by the companions Abdullah ibn Abbas, ibn Umar, ibn Mas'ud, and we mentioned those issues, radiyallahu anhu. And we also mentioned in the last dars the ikhtilaf between the scholars, whether or not Hisham was better than Mecca and Medina. And we explained to you that this is the ikhtilaf that's mustasakh. Both sides have their proofs. And major scholars went to the opinion and the side that Hisham has its proofs to be the best place, as we mentioned last week. And we're going to mention some of those adilla today and some issues that strengthen that point of view, that Hisham is better than Mecca and Al-Medina. So with today's Darus Ikhwani, a lot of the issues that we're going to mention, they are not all of the ahadith that are authentic about Hisham, but a number of them. And they touch upon and deal with issues that are connected to the aqidah in al-Islam. And there are quite a few. From them is the issue of al-Isra wal-Mi'raj. Al-Isra wal-Mi'raj. In our intellect, fi hadud aqulina, in our intellect, what we can conceive, there's no trip like al-Isra wal-Mi'raj that was taken by a human being. So that Isra wal-Mi'raj is an amazing mu'jiza in the scales of al-Islam and in the life of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For that reason, the ulama of al-Islam in the past dealt with al-Isra wal-Mi'raj in detail by writing books about what happened, because the ahadith of this issue are detailed and they are many. Because of the serious nature of this mu'jiza, Muslims have gone overboard and they've done things in al-Isra al-Mi'raj. Allah didn't send down for it any sultan at all. Allah didn't even inform us what day it was on, what month was it in. But the Muslims, because it is a great day, they went overboard and they made the month of Rajab, the 27th of Rajab, and they came up with Salah and Adhkar, Ma anzalallahu biha min sultan, nothing from our religion. But it is great. Anybody who is a Muslim and he downplays al-Isra wal-Mi'raj, he has to check his iman. It's a serious issue. And what took place at al-Isra wal-Mi'raj is that which establishes the virtues of Hisham. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam pray with all of the prophets and all of the messengers in Sham, not in Mecca and not in Medina. In the Isra al-Miraj, before he went up, in Bayt al-Maqdis, he was the imam for all of the prophets and all of the messengers, and that's something that's azim. It's azim from many angles, and that when else and where else did all of the prophets that Allah sent gather in one place, with the different time and eras that they lived and it happened over there. In addition to that, it's azim because the Muslims, again, ikhwani, and going overboard, and our awliya, inshallah, and our saints and our righteous people, inshallah, they call al-imam Abu Hanifa al-imam al-a'zam. And maybe someone may call some other imam al-imam al-a'zam, to call the leader of the Muslims al-imam al-a'zam. The Imam al-A'zam is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who led the salat of all of the prophets and all of the imams of al-Islam, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhim ajma'in. From what makes Hisham better than every other place is the fact that the majority of those prophets and those messengers came from that land over there. They didn't come from Mecca, Medina, al-Iraq. They didn't come from anywhere other than that area in Hisham. Today, our imam, he read some ayat of the Quran. Those ayat were dealing with the prophets and the messengers of Hisham, and they were in Sham. So they died in that area. Bani Israel, Ikhwani, their dawah, their civilization, their existence was in that area. So the vast majority, if not all of their prophets, originated from that particular place. And Allah mentioned in the Quran in Surah Al-Ma'idah, وَإِذْ قَالَ مُوسَى لِقَوْمِهِ يَا قَوْمِ اذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ إِذْ جَعَلَ فِيكُمْ أَنْبِيَاءَ وَجَعَلَكُمْ مُلُوكًا وَآتَاكُمْ مَا لَمْ يُؤْتِ أَحَدٍ مِّنَ الْعَالَمِينَ. And remember when Musa said to his people, O my people, remember the favor, the ni'mah of Allah upon you, when he made you anbiya, and he made you kings, and he gave to you what he didn't give to anybody else from all of the people in the alameen. So what Allah gave them that he didn't give to anybody else is he gave them prophets and messengers. A lot at one time, multiple times there would be 2-3 prophets and messengers doing the existence and civilization of Bani Israel. Sometimes they would have prophets and messengers. At the same time with the prophets and the messengers, there were righteous kings like Talut in the Quran. So their Anbiya came from there and they died over there. Obviously, Ikhwani, from what makes that land great in al-Islam and the Aqidah of the Muslim is those prophets and the messengers, they had their Hawariyin. They had their Ansar. The Prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, inna li kulli nabiyyin hawari. Every Nabi has his helpers, or those who help him. So those awliya from the Sahaba of the Prophets and the Messengers are in that place. Although the companions of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, radiallahu anhum, are better than them, but nonetheless, they're there. As it relates to the Prophet's companions, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, radiallahu anhum, from what makes Sham virtuous is that many of the companions went to Sham. One of the great ulama of al-hadith that come from Sham, students of hadith, anyone who's reading and dealing with the sciences of al-hadith, there are certain names that are going to always pass you in al-Islam. Al-Imam al-Zuhri is always going to pass you, always, always. Abu Huraira is always going to pass you. Sufyan al-Thawri is always going to pass you. You're going to hear certain names all the time. One of those names is a scholar of hadith, there from Sham. His name is Walid ibn Muslim. Always going to pass you as it relates to ilm al-hadith, especially as it relates to the people of Sham. He said, 10,000 eyes from those who saw Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they visited in Sham. Radiallahu anhu. That's a lot of people. Did he mean 10,000 companions? Or did he mean half of that 5,000 companions with two eyes? 10,000 people who saw Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they also saw Sham. If it's just 5,000 and he means everyone has two eyes, 5,000 is a lot of companions. To travel from Al-Madinah during that time to Sham and traveling for the deen, as they used to have correspondences, inviting each other over there for a dawah, for jihad, that's a lot of people. So all of that makes Sham a place of virtue. The Muslim that loves the companions, he appreciates that from that angle. As we mentioned, the companions of Ikhwani, from those who were buried in Sham are many. Some of the more premier, foremost companions, Bilal ibn Rabah, who the narrations of the seerah indicate, he didn't want to stay in Medina anymore after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam because he couldn't stand the sorrow of existing in Medina without al-Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he went to Sham. He died in Sham along with the Saif of Allah, Khalid ibn Walid, along with our uncle, Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan, who was one of the leaders of Sham, the governor of Sham. And another hadith is applicable to him. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that, Fustat al-Muslimin bi-Sham. The capital of the Muslims is in Sham. The capital of the Muslims is in Sham. He told the Muslims that many, many years before Muawiyah became the Khalifa sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. He mentioned, Aqru Dar al-Mu'mineen bi-Sham, the epic center of the Muslim empire is going to be in Sham. Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan, he ruled Sham, and his dynasty, all the Muslims who extended his dynasty from the Umayyad. They ruled in Sham for 100 years. 100 years. So all of that indicates the virtues of Sham. From the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as I mentioned, there are many issues. He told us in what is authentically collected by Imam and Ahmed and other than him concerning Sham, إِنَّهَا صَفْوَةُ بِلَادِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى مِنْ أَرْضِهِ وَيُحْشِرُ إِلَيْهَا صَفْوَتُهُ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ. He said that Sham is the best of Allah's lands. From all of the lands, it is the Safwa, it is the best one. In another hadith, it said, خِيرَةُ الْأَرْضِ. It is the khair, the best land. So again, as we mentioned last week, from this hadith and other than it, many of the ulama of Islam said that the Sham, based upon this ayat or this hadith, is clearly the best of the lands of Allah, and in that place is the best of his servants. Scholars had two ways of understanding this hadith, ikhwani, because of two different issues that have been mentioned that show the virtues of Sham. Sham is the best place, and in that place will be gathered the best of Allah's creation. Some of them understood that that is going to be in the future when the time of fitna is going to come for Sham. Right now is a time of fitna, but the hadith is not talking about that fitna. He said that in the future there's going to be the malhama, some serious killing, tribulations, murdering, fighting, wholesale. He said there will be three great massive armies of the Muslims. One army is going to be in Al-Iraq. Another army is going to be in Al-Yemen. And the third army is going to be in Al-Sham. One of the companions said, Ya Rasulullah, which one of those three do you command me to go to at that time? He said, I tell you to go to Al-Sham. Alayka bi-Sham. Out of those three, go to Al-Sham. So that didn't seem like it happened, that three Muslim armies have gathered in these three places and there's going to be trials and tribulations. But we can say that the hadith is ajib, it's a gharib, because right now, in the three places that were mentioned, there are battles going on where the Muslims are losing their lives and they can't do anything about it. In Al-Iraq, as the hadith mentioned, but the Muslims don't have a big army that belongs to them. In Al-Yemen, with the Houthis and the Qaeda, and other than that, the Yemenis are being killed left, right, and center. And people are being made homeless and motherless and fatherless and so forth and so on. And right now with Sham, that is not popular and it's not in the media right now. So we don't see people crying for the Dua of Al-Qunut. And we don't see the Muslims being sensitive to what's going on because we're driven and motivated by mass media. What they tell us, it causes us to be uptight, it causes us to be calm, causes us to be forgetful. In Sham right now, the aftermath of all of that devastation is still having to be dealt with right now, in addition to those other places. So the shahid of the kalam is, it appears that this hadith is referring to a time when the Muslim armies are going to be big and organized and they'll be dealing with other people and other armies, and Allah knows best. So the Prophet told that companion, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, during that time, alayka bisham, and he didn't say any place from the other places that were mentioned. The second way that the scholars understood this hadith, and the hadith again so that I can repeat it, is that he said that Sham is the safwatul ard, it is the best place, land, as it relates to Allah's lands. And the best of his servants will be gathered in that place. During the time of those three battles, the best of the Muslims are the ones who will go to Sham to be with that army. Some of the scholars understood the hadith to mean that, and other ones understood it to mean that Sham is the place where everybody is going to be raised up, Yawmul Qiyamah, in a way that Allah knows its reality. He mentioned, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, إِنَّكُمْ مَحْشَرُونَ الرَّجُلٍ وَرُكْبَانٍ وَمُجَرُّونَ عَلَى وَجُوهِكُمْ بِالشَّامِ. Verily, you people are going to be brought forth collectively, and some of you will be brought forth walking, and some of you will come forth riding, And some of you will be coming forth being dragged on your faces. And that's going to happen at Ash-Sham. So part of the Aqidah of Al-Islam that the scholars of Islam put in those books about the Aqidah of the Muslim is this issue about the day of Al-Mahshar, one of the days of Yawm Al-Qiyamah, that Yawm Al-Qiyamah is going to take place on this earth in Sham. Out of all of the places that that could have happened, it's going to happen in the place where all of those prophets and all of those messages came and they were sent from Bani Israel. Again, it shows the virtues of Sham. It's not acceptable, ikhwani, for the Muslim to sit and to start trying to figure out the details of that without equipping himself with the narrations of the Sunnah, without equipping himself with the meaning ayat of the Quran that tell us what's going to happen to the earth, Yawm al-Qiyamah, that is going to rent asunder, the sky is going to split and the mountains are going to fall, all of that stuff. We're going to understand this. Yawm al-Qiyamah, people will be raised up and driven from Ash-Sham. Don't be one of those people who think, what about if I'm living in my... That's not for us to figure those things out. That's what the Prophet said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the way to get the details about it is to bring all of the texts together. Because it would be no benefit of the hadith if everybody at the time of Yawm al-Qiyamah just were going to be raised up in the place where they are and that's it. He said that everybody will be driven to that particular place. Sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. In addition to what we have mentioned, it's part of what was mentioned last week, but there is some addition. Muawiyah ibn Qurra, he narrated on the authority of his father that the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if the best of the people or the people of Ash-Sham, if they became no good, if the fasada ahlu Sham, if the people of Ash-Sham became rotten, they became no good, they fell off of the virtues of Al-Islam in which Al-Islam has given them, he said, if this happens, then there's no good in your community, in this ummah. Then he went on to mention a very important aspect of what Ahl Sunnah believes in that same hadith. There will always be a group of people from my ummah who will be victorious. It will not harm them, those people who go against them and oppose them. They will remain in that condition until Yawm al-Qiyamah. And then he mentioned a Dajjal. And he told them about the details of a Dajjal in that hadith. And from what he told them, is that a Dajjal was going to be on the face of the earth for 40 days. One day is like this, and the second day is like that, and the rest of the days is like this. And then he mentioned, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Isa ibn Maryam is going to descend at a white minaret, seems to be a masjid, Allahu A'lam, at al-Manar al-Bayda, and he's going to kill the Dajjal at the door of Ludd. So the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ is filled with a lot of information and a lot of benefits. From the beginning of the hadith, again, he mentioned, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if the people of Sham become corrupt, if they become rotten, if they become people of fasad, then there's no good in the rest of the ummah. The meaning of this, ikhwani, is not that we compare the people of Sham right now and then we put that blanket hukum on this ummah. It's not talking about that. It's talking about what's going to happen close to Yawm al-Qiyamah during the time of the Nuzul of Isa ibn Maryam when these trials and tribulations are going on. A lot of problems. If the people of Sham in that special area are no good, then the rest of the ummah will be judged by what they're doing over there. Not now. The Islam in Ash-Sham al-An, right now, they have good people in Ash-Sham, ulama of the Quran, ulama of the language. They have doctors, brilliant people and thinkers, people in Ash-Sham right now. But Sham as a country is not one of the best examples of Al-Islam. It's been affected by secularism. It's been affected by European civilization. It's been affected by Christianity. It's been affected by a lot of problems. So don't be the person who takes this hadith. إِذَا فَسَدَ أَهْلُ الشَّامِ فَلَا خَيْرَ فِيكُمْ. If the people of Ash-Sham become no good, then there's no good in you. So the young man who's reading the Quran and the Sunnah, he's trying to be a student, he takes that hadith on its apparent meaning, and he says, look at the people of Ash-Sham right now. So in giving da'wah, his understanding is there's no good in the Muslims, and his da'wah is affected as a result of that. This hadith is talking about later on, closer to Yawm al-Qiyamah, when Isa ibn Maryam comes down, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi, that area is going to be a special area. More special in Medina and Mecca and every other Muslim, and every other place geographically where the Muslims are located. So he said, if the people of Hisham become no good, then there's no good in the Ummah. And there will always be a group of people from the Ta'if and Mansura, from the saved sect, from our Ummah. They will be Mansurin. They won't be afflicted, they won't be hurt by those people who go against them. From the rest of the Muslims in the world, from their enemies in that place. And then the Dajjal will come and he will be there. And Isa ibn Maryam is going to come down, being carried by the Malaika in that area. And then Isa is going to kill him at the Bab of Lud. So Isa ibn Maryam, Ikhwani, is going to be the Nabi who's present during the time of what is no doubt the saved sect, or where that phrase came from, Al-Furqat al-Najiyah. Al-Furqat al-Najiyah. And this is why the Prophet ﷺ described Hisham as being the Safwatul Ard from his lands. It is the best place, the khair place, and so forth, and so on. So that hadith is clearly talking about what's going to happen at that time. Last issue, Ikhwani, concerning the people of Hisham and the country of Hisham, is the fact that when Isa ibn Maryam comes, those people, because of their high level of taqwa and al-Islam, they're not going to be like the other Muslims in the Muslim world. They will say to Isa ibn Maryam, come forth and pray with the people, being that he's a miraculous Nabi, a miraculous Rasul. He was gone from the earth all of that time, now he comes down. That's something that's azim. Right now we're living, we have to believe in Isa ibn Maryam. Will he come right now? We don't know. We don't feel like he's going to come. It doesn't feel like that. But if he were to come, it's the issue where it's possible people during that time won't believe the way the Muslims are, the way our deen is. It's possible people could call him a crackpot because, a'udhu billah, because the lady right now in America right now, she's pregnant and she's swearing that she has Isa ibn Maryam in her stomach right now. So the Muslim right now, he knows automatically. That's kedah. He knows that automatically. But there are some people, their religion allows them to think maybe, maybe so, maybe not. So if they keep hearing crazy things like that, when the real Isa ibn Maryam comes back, the way the Muslims are, like the Ahlul Kitab and everything, some people may disbelieve. When the Prophet ﷺ came back from the journey of Al-Isra wal-Miraj, people disbelieved. And they were companions and they were with him. And they saw some of those mu'jizat. But when he claimed that, ﷺ, he went to Bayt al-Maqdis and he came back. And one night, there were companions who disbelieved. What about right now? Isa ibn Maryam comes back, the real Isa ibn Maryam, and he says, I've been gone for over 1,000 years. 2,000 years I've been gone, and here I am. The way the Muslims are today, the way we are, and the way we leave our religion, I'm practicing, I'm satisfied. No, we're not practicing enough, and that meaning I'm not judging anyone. Meaning, right now we are in a mess. And to be satisfied with what I'm doing, what we're doing, is dangerous. It's a danger. We're living in a dangerous time right now. So the point here is, Isa ibn Maryam will refuse to make the salat with the people, as you all know, in honoring the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ and his ummah, which is greater than the ummah of Isa and Musa. He was saying, no, you people pray over yourselves. You are the imams of one another. And this is the karam of Allah, takrimatullah on your ummah. This is Allah's karam upon you. And Allah gave a lot of karam on this ummah over the people, like this issue with Bani Israel having the most prophets and the messengers. Rasulullah explained to us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in many ways, in many ahadith, how our ummah is better than the ummah. Not just sitting down bragging we're better, but the adilla. He said, the example of this ummah and the example of Bani Israel, al-Kitab, is like the example of a man who hired a group of people to work for him from Salat al-Fajr until the sun came up, or from Salat al-Dhuhr until Salat al-Asr, or from Salat al-Fajr until Salat al-Dhuhr, which is a lot of hours. And then there was a man, that same man, he offered another group of people to work from Dhuhr to Asr. And then the third group, he hired them to work from Maghrib to Isha. So the time from Maghrib to Isha is the shortest time. But the first two groups, the man hired them, that he would give them one qirat, one dirham, one dollar, one whatever. And the first group worked a long time. The Yahud, many prophets, many messengers. A long time. And then the Yahud, the Christians, worked a little bit shorter than them, but for the same amount of money. And then this ummah came from Maghrib, from Asr to Maghrib, shortest time, and they got double the reward. Some of the people who worked for one and one, they complained to the man and said, why is it that we work the longest and we get shorter pay? This one is getting double. The man said, that's my fadl, I give it to whoever I want to do it. And that's what Allah Ta'ala's ruling is here, that this ummah has less people, this ummah has less time, this ummah has less mention in the Quran about it, and yet we'll have more people in the Jannah and so forth and so on. So this is what we wanted to mention, Ikhwani, concerning the land of Asham. Asham is an important, integral part of the aqidah of the Muslim. It's part of the whole puzzle of al-Islam, our religion. Know about it, honor it, exalt it. Get an opportunity to travel to Asham. Make it a priority if you can make that happen. Because now, alhamdulillah, there are a number of people who are giving tours to Asham. But obviously, it's under the occupation of those people who have no respect for humanity. Nonetheless, how it is, know about Asham and the virtues of the people of Asham. If you brothers have any questions, inshallah, a quarter past will stop the durs. Halindukum shay. هذا وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله